Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hey, it's Christine Blackburn, and you're listening to Storyworthy. Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from my closet in Los Feliz, California. I am so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, you may be wondering why I'm coming to you from my closet, and that's because today is a very special episode. Today, I'm bringing you the first in a long series called Closet Confessionals. About once a month, or whenever the urge hits me, I will bring you guys one of my own true stories, a closet confessional, from my closet. And today is the very first one. Are you excited? I am. I'm also a little nervous, because even though I've been recording Storyworthy for 6.5 years, and I've told many true stories, I've never really told them to you guys intimately. And you can't get much more intimate than coming to you from the closet in my bedroom. By the way, closets make great little recording studios. I take some of the clothes out, but I leave some in the closet as well, because the clothes buffer the sound. Now, of course, I'm also getting stabbed in the back with a hanger, but the point is, I want good sound for you guys, because when it comes to podcasting, it's all about the sound. Now, today's closet confessional is titled Me and Malibu, A Tale of Two Loves, and you guessed it, it's about me and Malibu, California. Now, I think you will really appreciate this story if you've ever been to Malibu, if you've ever been in love, if you happen to be a single parent, and if you've ever had your heart broken. Now, before I begin my story, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy, and why not head over to our website at storyworthypodcast.com and join my mailing list? That would be fantastic. All right, you guys, let's get right to our story. Now, I feel a little funny, like, giving you my own bio, so I'm just going to tell you to head over to christineblackburn.com, and you can find it there. All right, you guys, without further ado, here's my story, Me and Malibu, A Tale of Two Loves. I always judged other women who traded true love for the Lamborghini, the ridiculously large house, the designer clothing, and the jewelry. But I just realized I did the same thing. But instead of getting suckered in by cars and jewels, I did it for a city. I did it for Malibu. It's easy to fall in love with Malibu, California. My heart beats faster as I get nearer, cruising down Highway 1 with the ocean on one side and the mountains on the other. The same topography that has been here for thousands of years is breathtaking. Contrary to most people who speed up on PCH, I try and slow down and purposefully take in the beauty with the same appreciation I felt when I first moved to Los Angeles 20 years ago from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Every time my car curves through the little tunnel at the end of the 10 freeway and I see the Pacific Ocean, I release an audible sigh. I immediately put the windows down to let the salt air rush through the car, and I think, Cali-fucking-fornia. Malibu is picture postcard perfect. But I live in Los Feliz on the east side of Los Angeles. There aren't many postcards where I live. It's close to downtown, Griffith Park, and my beloved tennis courts. It's close to my kids' elementary school, her dad, and her friends. It's close to my Trader Joe's and my favorite bookstore, Skylight Books, where I work part-time. I never wanted to live in Malibu. I didn't really think I could, or belong anyway. I'd rationalize even wanting to ever live there by saying things to myself like, it's too far from Hollywood. It's too expensive. There's only one road. What if PCH shuts down? What if I get a last-minute audition? Who lives out there anyway? Well, it turns out moderately successful comedians do, and I spent a considerable amount of time with one of them in Malibu last year. I met him here on my podcast, Storyworthy. He's semi-retired, sophisticated, and has a fabulous place right across from the beach. He took me to all the best restaurants in Malibu. Moonshadows, Nobu, Joffrey's. I felt like one of the beautiful people. We rented paddle boards from Zuma J's and paddleboarded off the pier. We spent long afternoons eating and drinking at Paradise Cove. We walked around the Getty Museum, which was literally in his backyard, and we danced on his deck under the full Malibu moon. As a girl growing up in cold, gray Pittsburgh, this was glorious. This was my hallelujah. Every now and then, I wondered what it would be like for the moderately successful comedian to eat in my neighborhood at the House of Pies and pick up my kid at school. But I pushed those thoughts from my mind. Who cares? Look, are those dolphins? Malibu became my weekend fantasy land. I spent my weekdays with my daughter, Alabama, on the east side of L.A., living real life, taking her to elementary school and dance class, helping with homework, doing crafts, baking, playing games, tennis, and volunteering at school in the Girl Scouts. But when the weekends hit and she went to her dad's, I'd pack my bag, jump in the car, and make a beeline to my fantasy world in Malibu. After a while, I justified, it's not that far away. There's not that much traffic on PCH. I can handle living my life in both of these places. The beauty of Malibu can be very distracting. But the moderately successful comedian and I didn't last. We broke up after about 6 months. Not only did I realize I was leading a double life between the east side and the west side, I also realized he was a Republican, and he wasn't that funny. I thought to myself, no more Malibu. It's too far from Hollywood. It's too expensive. There's only one road. Who can live someplace with one road? What if PCH shuts down? What if I get a last-minute audition? The next person I dated would live east of La Brea, and he would be a Democrat. I was intent on being specific like that. I decided to try out an online dating site, OkCupid. I filled out the profile thoughtfully. I heard tips about how to make the dating algorithm work in my favor. You see, online dating sites process how users answer multiple-choice questions on the site and match scores, which are, in theory at least, an approximate estimation of potential compatibility. So the idea is you shouldn't answer hundreds of questions, only answer a few dozen. You don't need to find out what someone watches on Netflix. You need to find out answers to important questions like, are you a Democrat? And do you live east of La Brea? I'm on my own side now. The first messages I've received were easy to overlook because I didn't feel an attraction to anyone. But then a message comes through with a photo that catches my eye. It's a guy in a leather jacket on a motorcycle. I click on his profile before I even read the message. I like the pictures. He's athletic. There are photos of him biking near the ocean, another on his motorcycle in the canyon, and one on a zip line. He seems adventurous. He's handsome. In fact, he's really handsome. He looks like a blend of Robert Redford and that Crocodile Dundee guy, with a little surfer dude thrown in. There are more pictures, lots of ocean shots and sunsets. What does this add up to? Malibu. That's right, he lives in Malibu. So do I respond to his message? Do I heed my warning to not date west of La Brea? No, of course not. He's handsome, and he's interesting, and he's not a comedian. Plus, Malibu. I psychically send an apology to all the gold diggers I'd ever judged before. Keep your diamonds, keep your Porsche. I'm a weak woman for a man in Malibu. Again. I read the message. It's only a few sentences long, but he links it to his website. I click quickly through, and I'm impressed. It's straightforward. He's a writer, an author with a few books. His life has been in politics, the Democrat side of politics. He worked with Carter and Clinton and is a fierce advocate for strong climate policy. Plus, he's hot. Did I mention that? What's not to like? Well, besides the fact that he lives in Malibu. I message him back, and we decide to meet at LACMA for Friday night jazz. The Democrat writer talks. A lot. In fact, he talks the entire time. But he's smart, and he's interesting, and he asks me if I want to get some food around the corner in Little Ethiopia. I say yes, and we walk to his car. It's a little black Saab convertible. Wait a minute. I had this same car, the Saab 9-3. I love this car. It was always in the shop, but I love that car. Is this car kismet? It's so L.A. We go out a few more times, always meeting in the middle, the Mid-Wilshire district. But then the Democrat rider asks me to go out to Malibu. It had been 2 months since I'd made that trek. Don't do it, I tell myself. You'll get sucked in by the ocean and the beauty. Plus, it's November, which is an especially pretty month at the beach. When daylight savings ends, the sun shifts just so, and the sunsets are exquisite. don't go out there, I tell myself. But of course I go. I check my ways to determine whether I should take the 10 or the 101, jump in the car, and then my Subaru just sort of makes the drive instinctively west. They hardly even let Subarus in Malibu, but I drive forward unfazed. It's so familiar. The curve at the end of the 10, through the tunnel, and then the ocean comes into view. I put the windows down and soak up the smell of salt water. Hello, old friend. You look beautiful today. I drive up PCH, past the moderately successful comedian's place, give a small nod of acknowledgement, and finally arrive at the Democrat writer's place. He lives 1/2 mile from the moderately successful comedian. But the Democrat writer's apartment is directly on the water. That wins all in Malibu talk. I'm talking waves splashing on the deck doors. When it's high tide, you can't go downstairs. It's intoxicating. I'm hooked. Again. This city is calling my name. Oh yeah, and the Democrat writer is too. The Democrat writer is retired and an empty nester. After raising his boys alone, he's now living his perfect retirement, like a beach bum. It makes sense, right? You work, you struggle, you retire, and cash it all in for a motorcycle, a convertible, and an expensive apartment at the beach. Sounds like a plan to me. The next date, the Democrat rider takes me out on his Harley. And this is a view of Malibu I haven't experienced before. Flying down PCH on the back of a motorcycle is exhilarating. We head up into the canyons, and it literally takes my breath away. And at one point, I have to insist that he stop the bike. I'm scared. He stops at the top of Topanga Canyon, takes off my helmet, and kisses me passionately. We're overlooking Malibu, and I know immediately that I am hooked again. I am in love with Malibu, I am in love with this bike, and I am in love with this entire situation. The Democrat writer? Well, that's another question. But soon I'll be turning 50 years old, I thought. Fuck it, this is what I want to be doing. Cruising through the canyons of Malibu on the back of a motorcycle overlooking the Pacific Ocean. All be damned, I'm in. The Democrat writer and I play tennis at Pepperdine and backgammon on his deck overlooking the sunset. We kayak out to the seals at Big Rock and hike around El Matador State Beach. We celebrate with the hula dancers at Duke's on Friday nights and eat at Tremonto's where they know us by name. Then there's the real inn with longboard on tap, Rosenthal wine tastings with friends, happy hour at Cafe Escobar, and BLTs with tater tots served all day at the country kitchen. I feel like I am leading a magical life, minus one very, very important detail. Reality. I consider how the Democrat writer might fit into my life on the east side with my daughter. Would he like to be part of my real life? Would he like to go to the meadow after school to fly a kite and picnic with fried chicken and sun chips? How does helping out with the school Halloween fair grab him? How does he feel about dinner of macaroni and cheese? But there's no time to worry about any of that, because it's Thursday, and I dropped my kid off at school, and I'm heading back out to Malibu. Surely reality can wait another week. The Democrat rider and I take the motorcycle to the famous rock store in Cornell on Saturdays. We hit the farmer's market by the Malibu Library on Sundays, and we do speaking engagements together at the swanky Malibu Soho House. If that's not enough, I even do a nude promotional shot from my 50th birthday on the back of his motorcycle. It was crazy. It was fun. A lot of fun. California. I high-five the 12-year-old California dreaming girl from Pennsylvania inside of me and give her 4 gold stars. Job well done, sister. You did it. Well, sort of. The 50-year-old in me is starting to feel pulled in opposite directions. Literally. Back and forth like Cinderella dashing out of the ball and back again, racing between my worlds as a single mom on the east side of L.A. and my fantasy life on the west side. Including both relationships, this went on for almost 2 years. In fact, the Democrat writer and I just split up a few weeks ago. To tell you the truth, it was the election that shook me up. All of a sudden, right was wrong, left was right, the world was upside down, and Donald Trump is president. What I took from this is anything can happen, life is short, and our country is fucked. Suddenly, my life looked that way, too. The weekend after the election, after the breakup, a friend invited my daughter and I to a sailing party to celebrate her 50th birthday. There were three families on the boat, and while the kids played in the cabin, the parents sipped wine on the deck. We sailed past Venice and then the Santa Monica Pier. Malibu is straight ahead. We passed Topanga Beach, and I know the Democrat writer's place is right around the corner. As his place comes into view, it looks different. It looks far away. I'm on this boat, and I'm sharing stories with the other parents about school and teachers, and I hear the kids laughing, and I begin thinking, I have not been living my life. I have been living the moderately successful comedian and the Democrat writer's life. I've been living in their worlds. They didn't live in mine. I kept choosing men that were at completely different stages in their lives than me, all because they lived in Malibu. The reality finally hits me like a wave slamming into a rock. I fought so hard to be right for these men. I tried so hard to fit into their worlds. It wasn't their lives I wanted. It was the location. The question now needs to be, how can a man's life fit into mine? I finally realize, without my daughter and someone who wants to share that with me, it's all worthless. I realize I like the view of Malibu from this side, from this sailboat, with my daughter and with friends. Malibu is over there, a great place to sail past or maybe spend the day. Malibu can be a supporting character in the life of my family, but it cannot play a major role. I'm officially over you, Malibu. I get it. You're fantastic. You are the perfect blend of hip and hippie, of sophistication and craziness, of money and beach bum. You are all things beautiful, Malibu. I get it. California. But I will not be swayed by you again. I'm leaving you. I'm staying on the east side. I miss being in my neighborhood, even if it isn't as scenic as the sun setting over the Pacific. I miss my little part of the city. I don't need Lamborghinis, designer clothes, jewelry, or Malibu. From now on, I'm only dating guys who are Democrats that live east of La Brea, and most importantly, in my stage of life. Malibu isn't going anywhere. I'll eventually go back. The sunsets are exquisite, especially in November, when daylight savings time ends and the sun shifts just so. Plus, I hear it's a nice place to retire. Okay, that's it. Did you guys like the story? It's really sad, right? Yeah, well, that's fucking life. I mean, I'm over it. I'm getting over it. You know, it takes time. And I think, you know, getting over a breakup, you know, it shows that you have a heart, right? It shows that you cared and that you tried. When people speak ill of their exes, I always think to myself, you know, well, then what the hell were you thinking? You know, like, what kind of judgment did you have to go out with them to begin with? So, anyway, I'm getting over it. I'm better. I really am. And if you live east of La Brea and you are a Democrat, feel free to email me at info@storyworthypodcast.com because I'm not doing the dating sites either. I'm just taking a break. That's what I'm doing. But if you email me, well, you know, it's different. We'll see. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to my very first Closet Confessional. I'll have another one for you next month, so let me know what you guys think. You can email me, like I said, at info@storyworthypodcast.com or find me on Twitter @storyworthy. And if you're really feeling kind, head over to iTunes and leave Storyworthy a good review. I always need that. 5 stars and a good review, and I'll be your best friend forever. And check out past episodes of Storyworthy as well with my dear friend Hannes Finney. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a story by writer Laura House titled Juice Cleanse.
Had I ever done a juice cleanse before? Hell no. I'd started lots of them. They're easy. You start with a juice in the morning, then around noon you get hungry and you eat a sandwich.
You guys are in for a real treat. Don't miss Laura House next week on Storyworthy. I want to thank everyone over at Wondery Media. I am so grateful to be with such a professional group of podcasters and storytellers. Thanks to Hernan Lopez, Jeffrey Glazer, Royce Wadsworth, Christina Haro, and Caro Chocolasian. And especially a big thank you to you guys, my Storyworthy audience. By tuning in every week, you guys are the ones that make it happen. So on behalf of every one of you, Happy New Year. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a Storyworthy week. Follow me.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.